Let's take an idea from our parsha, Parshas Vayetze, an idea that's relevant to the Jewish home. We find that Yaakov is told from heaven, go back to Israel. And then he goes to his wives, and he tells them, I see your father's upset with me, and things haven't been going well, and he gives them the case why it makes sense to leave the country. And then he says, and God said so. So they answer him and they say, it's really bad here. Our father isn't treating us right. He's trying to take away all our money. And of course you should listen to God. That seems like a funny conversation for pious people to be having, So Rav David Feinstein said a beautiful pshat over here. He said, very often when we have conversations, we know our own partiality. We know what we personally would like. And then we find a source that this is what God wants. And of course, we play the God card, so to speak. We come and say, God said this, so of course we have to do it. When in fact, we are very partial. Pious people put their own partiality on the table. So Yaakov comes and says, I have a problem. I personally have a problem here. Your father has, is upset with me. I see he's not feeling comfortable with me the way he used to. And I worked very hard for him. And he switched my wages thousands of times, and God keeps helping me. But the angel told me it's time to go. So he's saying all his reasons before he says God, because he puts the cards on the table. I have every reason that I want to leave. That's called being honest. Very often within marriage, we look for a religious reason to push our own agenda. And we have our reason, but it happens to be that we feel like this is really what God wants too. It's very important to be honest. Sometimes people have this issue with regards to Aliyah. One of the spouses wants to go to Israel, another one does not. So then people become very frum. Look at what it says in the Codex. Look at what it says in the Gemara. Look at what it says in the Rambam. You know what this does to you spiritually if you don't leave? So that's not fair. Be honest. You want to. There's also the spiritual side of it, but there are spiritual sides to many things. Honesty is that I put my partiality on the table, and I'm willing to say this is what I want, and that plays a big role. It's very dangerous when couples bring God into the picture in that way. Sometimes couples have an argument about where they should live. So the wife will call up and say, the rabbi said, when I get a phone call from a wife about halacha, very often I'll ask, why don't we have this conversation with your husband? Why don't we have it as a three-way conversation? I'm uncomfortable. She's going to come back to her husband and say, the rabbi said. Wait a second. Let's understand both sides to this argument. And the same is true by a husband. I had a... What was the story? A couple had a very difficult question they were facing about their future, and the husband called me up a few weeks ago, and I said to him, I don't think it's right to have a conversation without your wife present. This is a decision for the family. It's a religious question. It's a question of where you'll live. It's a question of what job you'll take. It's true. It affects religion, but it also affects your home. So it's really both of your question. She trusts me. Okay, I'm not gonna start questioning that. But the truth is that the real answer is, let's think about it together. As a couple, we're a unit in serving Hashem. And we have to work as a couple. We have to take into account what each one is comfortable with. Very often a person thinks that just because I'm in the right, that means that the other side should come to my playing field. It doesn't work that way. A woman says, I find it very hard to go to shul on Shabbos. The husband says, come on, davening and Kriyas HaTorah and everything. husband says, I'm uncomfortable walking around with my tzitzis out. And the wife says, come on, you know, Mishnah Brura, you're not supposed to be embarrassed of God's sign. And so when they call me up, I tell the husband, what's it your business if she goes to shul? Leave her alone. And when the wife calls me up, I say, what's it your business if his tzitzis are out? Leave him alone. You know how many times women will email or call, my husband doesn't get up for minyan? I'm going out of my mind. They're really bothered. Rabbi, get into the picture. I'm not sure that's right. You guys have to work together, and you also have to understand one another's...
Well, I don't shoot the messenger. I have after 20 years.
I knew you were going to comment.
I'm sorry, I didn't realize there was all this going on here. Are all their girlfriends and wives calling you, telling you to get them out of bed in the morning? That's a... I hear. Okay, but we have to respect one another's autonomy and also realize that we're partners in one sense, but we're autonomous in another. And it's not fair to come in the name of God and start breathing down someone else's neck. I often tell couples, how would you feel, man or woman, if you finished benching and your spouse said, you know, you just spoke to God. Maybe you should speak a little slower. Maybe you should think about what you're saying. Maybe you shouldn't be dealing with closing the bag as you're benching. So it doesn't matter if the man was doing it or the wife was doing it. Yes, you're right. But do I want to live in a house where someone else is looking down my, you know, looking at how I bench? We have a joke in our house. We once had a couple over. After the meal, we served grapes. So it came time for the after blessing. And the wife said to the husband, did I eat a shear? Did I eat the volume that requires an after blessing? So he says to her, you can, sure you ate. You ate 10 times the volume. You can make an after blessing. So, newlywed couple. She turns to him and says, you counting how many grapes I'm eating? You know? So, that became a family joke. You know, this happened in front of the whole family. Like, you counting how many grapes I'm eating? You know, that's, you know, she had a point. What are you counting? How many grapes I'm eating? On the other hand, she did ask him, remember? You know?
To make sure that I could tell you.
That's what he answered. He said, no, you asked me, so obviously. She said, I want you to know if I ate a shear. I didn't want you to count. Okay, but there's truth to what she said. You don't want your spouse looking over your shoulder. You know, honey, that's not eating for the sake of God. That's eating for the sake of your stomach. Really? You know, am I living with you here to tell me? Look, coming back to... it's a tricky thing when you're a religious couple, knowing that you're not supposed to breathe down one another's back, and it's not fair to use religious reasons in every argument. There are times when the religious reasons are the real reasons. When you discuss, should we have a TV at home? Very often the reason is a religious one. When you discuss what community you live in, sometimes the religious aspect is very relevant. So there are areas where it's relevant. And even where it's relevant, we have to be careful not to become holier than thou. It has to be with mutual understanding. We grow together. We try to understand one another. And this is very tricky. It's one of the reasons that I recommend that students of the Machon find a rabbi who has experience with Chozrim B'Tshuva. Because the fluctuations that a person has through the tshuva process, and their legitimate fluctuations, require a certain understanding. Your wife has to have understanding of it, you have to have understanding of it, and whoever's guiding you has to have understanding of it. We're out of time. Okay, whoever wants to go can go. Whoever wants to stick around, we'll add one more point. Taking from our parsha, I noticed something which I think is a beautiful chidush. It doesn't say it anywhere as far as I know, but I think that there's a beautiful insight in the conversation between Yaakov and his wives. Yaakov says to them, you know I worked so hard for your father. End of Pasuk. Next Pasuk. And your father tricked me. He's changed my wages hundreds of times. If it's a continuation of the previous thought, it should have been in the previous Pasuk. The fact that the Torah splits it is possibly an indication that that does not go under the realm of you know. Meaning he began by saying, you know I worked with all my strength for your father, because that they did know. They knew the days and nights he put in. But perhaps they did not know how many times their father switched the wages. Perhaps as hard as it was dealing with a father-in-law who was a swindler, Yaakov didn't tell them, and that's maybe why the Torah splits the psukim. That you end one thought, and then he's telling them, and you know, now it's relevant. Now you guys have to know. Your father kept switching my wages. And everything he did, he kept tricking me. All you saw was that we were getting more and more wealthy. Well, that was God's hand in it. But in fact, in our deals, he kept switching the deals. So all the years, he's not telling them, because it's not relevant. So why say Lashon Hara about their father? Very often, we feel that if it's her dad who's cheating me, you know, we made a deal. This is a story that happens. You make a deal with your father-in-law. Your father-in-law says, sure, buy that car, and I'll give you the funds to cover a third of it. Mm-hmm. So you buy the car, and the funds never come. And you come back to him, and you say, you know, we discussed it. And he says, nah, that's not what I said. I said, I think it's a good car to buy. And you're standing there, okay, what do I do now? So the temptation is to run to your wife and say, you know what your dad just did to me, but to what end? If she can find a solution, okay, that's, even then you have to wonder if that's the right thing to do. You see a giant, Yaakov Avinu, is being swindled time and time again. And after a time, he obviously realized God was making him wealthy nonetheless, but the first few times must have been pretty tough. We have to learn to deal with situations and not go ratting to our wives. It's not easy, but it struck me as I was going through the parasha this afternoon that maybe that's why the Torah split the psukim, to tell us the giant of Yaakov Avinu who did not tell his wives.